And so before we jump into God's word today, first of all, let me just say welcome. We're glad you're here. If you're new to Life Church, we just want to say thank you for coming, being a part of it. If you're checking us out online, we're so glad that that you're here with us. And we would love the opportunity to get to know you or meet you or just know a little bit more about you. And the way we do that is we have, if you're here in the worship center, we have our connection cards there on the seat backs in front of you. There's also a QR code that is available and also on our website. If you take a moment just to fill out that connection card, let us know that you're here. We would love to just welcome you. But here's what we also do. If you're newer, that we make a commitment to you that we would be praying for you and your family by name. So if you take a moment and fill that out for us. Also, if you download our app, you can fill that out on there as well too. But we would love to be praying for you by name. And then also, we'd like to invite you next Sunday. Everyone say next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're having right after our morning service what we call our Connection Luncheon. And the Connection Luncheon is really the opportunity for those that are new or newer or that have never been to one of our Connection Luncheons to be a part of this free lunch that we offer next Sunday. And then we just get to have the opportunity to get to meet you. You get to hear a little bit about who we are as a church and what God's doing and opportunities to take your next step. And so that's next Sunday. If you've not signed up, you're interested in coming, we'd love to have you be part of that. There's a sign up in the back. There's also one of these cool little cards that we're trying to make sure, we're trying to make things easier for you through our website and through our app that you can also download. But if you've not signed up, see Pastor Morgan in the back right after our service today, and we would love to get you connected and get you the opportunity to be a part of that. And also, you know, if Life Church is your church home, I want to encourage you also as we prepare our hearts or we continue our worship through our giving. You know, we understand that that our tithes and our offering, you know, the Bible talks to us, teaches us that we're stewards. Everything that we have comes from God. And what he asks is for us to return just a portion, a tithe, an offering back to him. And so if Life Church is your home church, I want to encourage you to continue to be faithful. We've shared a little bit about some of the things that we've done, and we'll continue to share that. But there's three ways to give. If you're here, we have our giving envelopes here that are available. You can also give online. Probably the easiest way to give is through, and safest ways through our text to give. The number up there, 925-380-1713. Last week we shared a video with you, and I've got another one I'm going to show you from our missions trip, but of how we're making a difference down the street, across the border, and around the world. Another way we do that, and for our offering, our ushers will be available at the end of our service, but another way that we make a difference, is Jessica in here? There, she's right there. Okay, so Jessica, we're all set and ready to go, right? Okay, so each year, you know, virtually every month, we do some kind of different outreach that we try to serve and be a blessing, whether it's in our community or around the world at some different juncture. But for this month, the month of December, what we do is our adopt a child. And so we are attempting, or we have committed to adopting over 80 people in our community that we get to buy gifts for. That represents some 20 plus families. And so if you'd be willing this Christmas season to help make a difference and to be a blessing and to just show and share God's love in practical ways through our adopt a child, right at the end of our service today, Jessica will be back there by the Christmas tree, and there's little cards that you can take that can describe the families, the kids, and the people that we get to be able to be a blessing to. So if you've never done that, it's an incredible way just to be a blessing in our community. If you've done it, we know that you'll sign up. It's just such a joy to do that. When do they need to be back? December 11th. So you'll have about 2 weeks to do your shopping. If you don't want to shop, Jessica will shop for you. Let her know, and she, you just give her the whatever pledge you want to make, and we'll make sure that we do that. But we want to make sure that we cover all of those families that we've committed to being a part of with our adoptive family. All right. Are you happy? Yes. You're good. All right. Grab your Bibles this morning, and as I had mentioned, I want us to look at this opportunity as a season and not as a day or a moment. And as we look ahead, that what does this season look like? How do I prepare my heart. And today I want to share just a really that ties in what this weekend and the last Thursday, this idea of this celebration of Thanksgiving really is, what the Bible teaches us. And we're going to end our day. If you, our time this morning, if you didn't receive a communion cup on your way in, we will be taking communion together as a congregation at the end. And so they can pass that out if you'd raise your hand, or we can do that at the end. But we're going to conclude our time with this opportunity. But I want you to think about this for a moment. The idea that there's always something that in life, that there are variables in life, that if one thing, if something happens a certain way, that you respond in a certain way, that there are ways that one circumstance will dictate how maybe you respond, what you end up doing. I mean, there's just the practical ways. They talk about things like if there would be a fire, let's say, in a home, that there's different ways to address those circumstances. Like a grease fire, you're not going to throw water on, or a driving condition. That's another different circumstances. Now, my wife is from Colorado. Our family lived there for several years, and there was certain conditions that caused you to respond differently. So when it snowed, and I don't know what it is, but this week my wife, every day is like, it's so nice in California because she sees our kids dealing with snow and all that other stuff that live in the cold climate. But there's something that those circumstances require a response. Those circumstances require a different way for us to respond to them. And so whether if it's cold or snowy or icy, that circumstance is going to cause us to drive a little more cautiously. It should. Here in the Bay Area, if it's raining real heavy or windy, that those circumstances cause you to do something differently. You're going to dress warmer when it's cold. Those conditions demand a response or cause a response. The Bible gives us something similar, that there's circumstances that should cause a certain response. You know, there's a lot of different illustrations. Right now, the World Cup, that's the big thing that's happening right now that the world's focused on. And in the sports world or in soccer, there's different things that will cause different responses. And so you'll notice sometimes in soccer, and I've coached for several years, and so I try to teach our team that there's times that you're attacking, and there's other times that you're positioning yourself, that you may not be moving forward, but maybe you're moving forward by passing the ball back to an open player that can send it to the other side, that whatever condition, you respond to it in a unique way. And the scriptures are going to teach us something, that there are circumstances that we face, circumstances that we walk through, circumstances that we will see, and it doesn't matter what they are, good, bad, challenging, highs, lows, things that we celebrate, things that we mourn, things that we are concerned about, as well as things that we're confident about. All of those circumstances, the scripture gives us a verse that says, in every single one, there's one response. There's a one way that I want to make sure that you are always, everyone say always. Come on, are you there this morning? That we're always responding to. And this is what it says in 1 Thessalonians. In fact, we're going to read it here at the front side, but I'm going to end with this idea because I'm going to tie in what something that Jesus taught us. But it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, be thankful. Everyone say thankful. Thankful. Be thankful in, oh, come on, help me out. Be thankful in what? All circumstances. So the apostle wants us to understand something, that yeah, life has all kinds of different variables, all kinds of things that there's a cause and effect. There's a certain thing that causes us to respond and react, but he's teaching us a principle, and this principle is very valuable because in Psalms 100, it's going to tell us what it accomplishes, but he's teaching us that whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, whatever it is across the board, it doesn't matter. There's a response that's appropriate, that's right, that is ready for us to respond. So he says, be thankful in all circumstances, For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If I went back another verse, verse 16 and 17 says, always be joyful, never stop praying. But then it's this idea, be thankful in all or every circumstance, in every situation. The word there, thankful, is the word eucharisto. It's the Hebrew word, or eo, which you would get Eucharist from, or we would. And that whole idea is to give thanks, to be grateful, to feel thankful. And in the Jewish tradition, that word would teach them to be thankful to God. Be thankful for who he is and what he's done, that the understanding of this thankfulness. And today I want to challenge you. That's the title of my message, in every circumstance. And I want you to let that ring, let that message resonate in your heart and your spirit, that in every situation, in every circumstance, not for them, that would be crazy, because there are some circumstances, situations, that, man, I'm so thankful for this negative thing in my life, this deficit, this loss, this diagnosis. That, no, that's not what he's saying. He says, in every circumstance, there's a reason for you to have hope. In every circumstance, there's a reason that we can be thankful, or that we can be grateful. And so that's the bottom line. So you live life every day. It doesn't matter what circumstance, what situation, what challenge, what triumph, what victory, what battle. He's saying, there's one thing I want you to do, and that's to be what? To be, can you help me out? To be what? Thankful. That I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful. I want to understand that there's something that in this situation that the scriptures and the apostle is teaching us, that in every single one of those, I have a choice. In every circumstance, I have a choice. Will I let my circumstances defeat me? Will I let my circumstances pull me away from God? Will I let the good times cause me to be self-reliant? Will I allow, all in every circumstance, he's saying, hey, remember this. Be thankful. Be thankful for who God is and for what he has done. So let's jump into what the scriptures tell us about thankfulness. And there's one psalm. There's 150 psalms, but there's only one of them that has this subscript, this title, this preface that it's given to it, and it's called a Psalm of Thanksgiving. There's a lot of things, a lot of them will talk about that it's a Song of David, psalm that's supposed to be for those that are in distress, and it gives us different things, but there's only one that says this, that it is the whole purpose of these five verses is to be a psalm of thanksgiving, to help teach us this idea, this principle that the apostle says in every circumstance to be thankful, to give thanks in everything. And then the Old Testament, the Psalms, teaches that there's one that says the Psalm of Thanksgiving. So it's Psalm 100. And I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation here that I read out of most of the time. But I'm also going to read a paraphrase of this, because I just think it takes the heart of these verses and just makes it come alive in a way that I think is just memorable, that'll help you capture it. But this is what it says in Psalm 100. It says, shout. Everyone say shout. Shout. That's kind of what Pastor Mary Lou was talking about here just a moment ago. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with what? With joy. Come on, you just gotta smile right now. Like it's this idea that this thankfulness creates this response in us. Acknowledge the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. He's looking out for us. He's looking over us. He's for us. Verse 4 says this, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. For how long?
Forever.
You know, that's the number one description of God in the Old Testament. His love endures forever. That you can count on it forever. That unfailing, his love never fails and continues forever. And then it says, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. So his love never fails and his faithfulness continues forever. That there in this psalm, these five verses, gives us the heart of being thankful, the why and the how, that we get to express it in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter what it is that we face. And it starts off with this first thing is that reading that. Oh, wait, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Psalm 100, let me read it out of the Message paraphrase, because I just think it gives a good context for it. It says it this way. It'll be on the screen as well. It says, on your feet now and applaud God. Come on. Someone help me. All right. I was going to have you stand, but here's the picture. On your feet, applaud God. It's the standing ovation of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's the yes, you are worthy. You alone are worthy. You are King. You are God. You are Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. It's the standing ovation for God. Come on, that's just good right there. It says shout for joy, all the earth. But this idea is, I don't know what your picture is of this shout of joy or be thankfulness, but the way he describes it there, that Eugene Peterson describes it, was this standing ovation for God. I just love that. The applause for God, for the one true God. It says, on your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God and God, God. God, God. There's actually, when the other one says the Lord is God, there's these two words for God that we'll talk about in just a moment, but he made us and we didn't make him. We're his people and his well-tended sheep. We're his and we're his well-tended sheep. We're not just an afterthought. We're well taken care of. Verse 4, enter with the password of thank you. The entrance to the gates of his presence is this idea of gratefulness, of thankfulness, that I get to enter his presence with this thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking in praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever. I just love those two phrases in there, is the applause, stand and applaud God, the reverence and honor and glory to his name, and the idea that my worship of him, my thanksgiving, it's the password of heaven, is a heart of thankfulness. And so three things I want you to capture before we head into our time of communion together. The first thing is that thanksgiving is something that we express. It's this call to celebration. It's not silent. It's not somber. But when you read the psalm as he describes it, there's this outcry. There's an expression. And I think there's a lot of times we come in and we might be thankful, but we're maybe hold back at times to express this heart of gratitude, that it's something that we express. It's not just something that we think about. Catch this. The heart of thanksgiving is more than an internal feeling, but it's also an external expression. You catch that? So thankfulness isn't just something I feel, it's something I express. It's this standing ovation expressing to God there. And the Psalms are filled with this concept and idea. Psalm 33:1 says this, shout for joy. What is it? Shout for joy. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. That's what the ESV says. That word, fitting, befit, fitting, is this: appropriate, right, and proper. That it is right, it is proper, it is a good thing for us to express our praise, to express our thankfulness, to express to God, who he is, how we adore him, how we worship him, how we follow him, how we love him, that all of these things that we get to express that, who he is, that we are walking with God and we get to praise it. It's appropriate. When we come in church, we get to clap, we get to sing, we get to lift our hands, we get to sing out loud. Maybe you can even shout once in a while. She'll say, you know, give a shout unto God. No, God, thank you for who you are. Now, I get it. And we'll talk about this in just a moment. It's not just about this hype. It's about a heart and not about just hype. It's the inside expressing itself. Psalm 33:1, again, shout to the Lord. And the benefit, or the it befits us, it's appropriate, it's right. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands. Everyone just try that. All right, that was just practice. Clap your hands, all you people. Now, did you all do that? Yeah. All right, so you just expressed something from what the Bible describes from our hearts, expressing something, this ovation, this praise, this honor and worship of who God is. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout. Everyone just say, shout. Shout. Come on. Shout. Shout unto God with loud songs of joy. He loves it when we are expressing our devotion and our hearts to him. Psalm 66:1, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Now, I think the struggle here is like some people are like, well, I'm just not that emotional about things. And is that really, you know, what we should be, you know, doing is getting excited about who God is? Come on now. Yes. But there's a difference between emotion and emotionalism. So emotions is this expression of emotion over something that has happened or has been done or that someone has done. So this emotion of something that's happened, something that's been done, that someone has done for us, the emotion of thankfulness, of gratefulness. It's like, and excuse my sports analogy, but it's like Steph Curry when he hits a three-pointer to win the game. People aren't just going, nice shot, Steph. What are they doing? They are shouting. They're high-fiving. Yeah! That's an emotion to a response of something that's happened. Now, emotionalism, that does happen in churches and places, and that's a response to nothing having happened and no one doing anything. You understand the difference that the response or this expression of who God is, that we get to express our hearts, and it's not emotionalism when we praise him, when we clap, when we sing, because he is touching lives. He is alive. He is real. He is transforming. He is healing. Come on, somebody. That is who we get to worship and praise. So it's okay to express our gratitude. In fact, the psalmist is saying, shout it out. Don't hold it in. Don't be timid. Don't be reserved. Without reservation. And that might mean different things for different ones, but whatever that is. But then he tells us how to do it, not just to do it, but in verse 2, it says that worship the Lord with gladness. Now that word worship, if you look it up, it actually, in different translations, it's going to interpret it as serve and worship. And they're really the same word. The idea of serving is really the predominant part of what that means, but to serve the Lord with gladness, that I worship him. And because they're so closely connected, the technicality of serving, but when we serve, we worship. Amen? And when we worship, we are serving God. So it doesn't matter how you want to look at it. If I'm serving, it's my worship to him. And if I'm worshiping, I'm serving him through my worship. And so when you show up on a Sunday morning and you come to church, and I know Corey just slipped out, but this morning when he's here at whatever, 8:30 in the morning with the leaf blower, blowing all the leaves off the sidewalk and off the patio, that we get to do that with what? Gladness. Meaning, I get to, not I have to. Come on, somebody. That I get to do that. When you check in kids over at the kids registration area, that's not a have to. It's a get to. And when you greet and you shake hands, it's not I have to. He's saying, do it with gladness. Come on now. That I get to express my worship through serving, and my serving is my worship to Him. So I'm not just doing it for those that are around me. I'm doing it for Him. But when I do it for Him, that I point people to who He is, that I get to serve, or I get to worship with gladness, and I get to be a person that expresses who He is. And this idea is not just that we do it, it's the way in which we do it, that it matters, that I get to. The idea of gladness, exceeding glee or laughter, is what that means. That I serve the Lord, or I worship the Lord with exceeding gladness. So when we're worshiping, like, there's a joy. There's an opportunity to express this inner understanding of who He is and what He's done, this exceeding glee or laughter. Psalm 122, verse 1 says this, I was glad when they said to me that I was exceedingly glad. Let us go into the house of the Lord. I hope you feel that way. When you wake up on Sunday mornings, you don't just like, oh, 9:30, come on. But it's gladness. It's joy. I can't wait to worship and to serve God with everything that I have, the gladness. And when we're singing, it says to come to Him in singing. Shout with joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. It doesn't say singing on tune. Come on, somebody. That's my struggle. But with joy. Your hearts willing to worship Him. Thanksgiving is the idea of celebration that's expressed towards God. Quickly, the next two, the second thing we see from this is Thanksgiving is based on our understanding. A better way, I like this better, is revelation. That God reveals Himself to us in ways that allows me to be thankful, that I understand who He is, that Thanksgiving is based on that understanding, that revelation, that information, that we're not just celebrating for no reason, but we're celebrating who He is. Because we know Him. And in that passage, it gives us two names. It talks about in verse 3, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. Other translations will say it this way, know that the Lord is God. That information, that revelation, that you know that the Lord is God. And it's a powerful sentence to have two names of God side by side. The Lord is God. That's this picture of who He is, and we don't have time to dive into all of it, but the word Lord is the word Yahweh, and it's this understanding of His awesomeness, this fearsome name. In fact, it was so awesome and powerful when the writers of the scriptures that they would scribe, when they would write the pages of our Bibles, the original writers, what they would have to do before they would even write the word that we use for Lord or Yahweh, they would go and they would take a bath and they would ceremonially become clean. And then they would go and they would write one word, because that one word was so powerful, so mighty that they would not even use the whole word of it. It was this honor, and they would pin that one word because of the awesome, mighty name. And you know what they had to do? They put their pen down and they go and they took a bath again so they could keep writing. Think about the thousands of times that word would come across, that every time it was so powerful, so holy. This understanding of who He is, and that the idea of Yahweh's, the eternally present covenant keeping, promise keeping God, the self-existent one, meaning He doesn't need anyone or anything, but He provides everything for everyone, holy and unchanging. It's Yahweh. And then the Lord is God. That second word for God is Elohim. And it means supreme or mighty. In the beginning, it's Elohim that breathes the breath of life, that brings the power of his word to life in us. The powerful word that formed each and every one of us before we were even born, that he knew us, the mighty one, that we see that the power of his name. The Lord is God. Yahweh is Elohim, the self-existent, the mighty one, is Lord over all. And we get to see, understand this, that he's good. And there's so much in here, but verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. He is good. He delights in doing good, that he is good. I don't know what your idea, your picture of God is. And for some people, it's just somebody that's up there looking for our mistakes so that he can correct us. But it says that he's good. He is good and he does good. He delights in us, that his love endures and his faithfulness continues forever. His love never fails and his faithfulness never ends. And I have that revelation so I can be thankful in every circumstance. That goes back to what the apostle said. In every circumstance, because his love never fails and his faithfulness never ends, it gives me the foundation to say I have hope. It gives me the foundation to say I can be thankful in this moment. And real quick, the last one, it's this Thanksgiving is this invitation. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. That it's the entry word. I don't know about you. How many of you have a hard time remembering your passwords? Something pulls up and you have to enter a password. It just happened to us yesterday. Julie's like, for the whatever streaming thing, she's like, hey, what's a password? I had no idea. And then I start trying it and then it blocks me out. And then I, you know, on my phone, I don't even enter them anymore because I just touch it and it says it there. And I don't even know what my passwords are. Not long ago, you probably heard this. You know the number one password is 12345. Stop it. All right. Second one is 1111 or 000, or the famous one is just password. But we have these things that give us access to whatever it is that we're trying to secure. And what the scriptures teach us is that one principle, the access, the password to heaven is spelled T-H-A-N-K-Y-O-U, probably capital on the T and the Y. That we have this invitation to not just be on the outside, but to be on the inside, not just the gates, but to go into the courts. So let's wrap it up with this. In every circumstance, what? Be what? In every circumstance, be thankful. So let me just teach you a principle in Luke 22, and then we're going to take communion together, that Jesus taught us. A very powerful perspective on this whole idea in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus is empowering his followers to carry the mission on after him. And he spent 3.5 years investing and pouring his life. And this is the end of it. And he's trying to help them understand the power that they have. And Jesus realizes he's just moments, hours away from walking the road and carrying a cross. He's just hours away from being laid on that cross and hammered his hands and his feet to this cross. He's just moments away from that. And it says that it's this night before, he has this opportunity to have a meal with his closest friends. We call it the Last Supper. And at this moment, Jesus is going to do something that the church over 2,000 years later follows the example of. And the apostle will teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to do this same thing. But Jesus says this in Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. It says, when the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table, and Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering. Everyone say suffering. So Jesus is saying, I couldn't wait for this moment because I know what's on the other side of this. I know what's going to come, that I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to lay my life down so that all of humanity, you and I, could have life and have it abundantly. That he knew that moment was that powerful, that it would restore mankind, that men and women, boys and girls would be connected to God. And he said, I couldn't wait for this moment. It's going to be hard. I know the nails, and I know the thorns, and I know the beating. All these things are coming. It says, but I'm eager to have this meal with you before my suffering. Verse 16, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until the meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine, and he did what? Gave what? Gave thanks. Gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Goes on in the next verse, verse 20. It says, after supper, he took another cup of wine. He said, this is the cup, is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out for you. I want you to go back. It says that he took this, and he says, and he thanked God. The same word the Apostle Paul wrote, in every circumstance, be thankful. It's the exact same word that Jesus used. It says that he took it and he was thankful. He was thankful in the most difficult, trying situation. He knew he was hours away from going to the cross. And it says that he took it and he gave thanks. He was thankful in the midst of it. That he modeled for us the opportunity that the Psalms tells us to be thankful, that the Apostle Paul says in every circumstance, Jesus in the middle of that says, you know what? I'm going to take at my most challenging and difficult hour, I'm going to be what? Thankful. And this morning as we partake of the Lord's Supper that's modeled after that moment, it says this. In fact, if you didn't get one of these, just lift your hand and they'll make sure they pass one out. But on the one side is the bread. You'll just open the bottom piece of that. In fact, would you just stand with me real quick as we close out in prayer and in communion together? Being thankful in every circumstance. And Jesus was thankful in every circumstance. He would even, a few hours from that, would say, God, if this cup could be taken from me, but yet not my will, but yours. But at that moment, he says, thank you to God. You're worthy. You're worth it. You're good. The Bible says that you are good and you do good, that we understand in every circumstance. And I know for some of us, there's very trying and difficult times. For others of us, maybe you're just in this waiting pattern. Others of you are moving forward. But in every circumstance, that we learn to be thankful. And this is what the scriptures teach us. It says, for I pass on to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread, and again, he gave thanks to God for it. Thankful for who God is and what he's doing and what he's about to do. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this morning, that's what we get to do. We get to be thankful for what Jesus did that gives us life and hope and peace and joy. So Lord, this morning, as we hold this bread, this wafer in our hands, we thank you for who you are, the remembering the price that was paid, but even more the expression for us today of thankfulness, of gratitude in this season of time of who you are. your body that was given for us as a sacrifice that we could have life. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake of the wafer together. Let me say this too, if you're here, feel under no obligation, but know that you are welcome. You don't have to be a member, a regular attender of Life Church, but understanding that this sacred moment is this opportunity for us to evaluate our hearts and lives, to allow God to work in us and through us as we express our gratitude to Him. And he goes on from there and says, in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people. This is an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. So Lord, this morning we do this in remembrance of what you've done, what you're doing, and remembering what you are yet to do in and through us, that there is more that you're going to do, that you're going to accomplish. Thank you for your salvation, the blood that was shed for my sins, that was given for our wholeness and healing. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's partake together. So Lord, today we honor you. We are thankful for who you are, for what you've done. God, I pray that we'll have a lifestyle in every circumstance that we'll be thankful, that we'll be grateful for who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name. Let me just remind you of this as we get ready to go, that every good and perfect gift, everything in your life, the air you breathe, the relationships that you have, the church you have, that says every good and perfect gift is from above. Everything that's good in our lives, he's blessed us with, that we get to be thankful for who he is and what he's done.